but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Every year, it is a treat to bring on our next guest. Dave Softy Mulher from KJR in Seattle is joining us. It's Huskies, it's Ducks, it's Saturday. We got a Thanksgiving holiday. How are you feeling about your Huskies this week?
I'm feeling okay. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. I look forward to you calling me every single year, and I'm lying.
I love it. You've been a little bit, I think, not as fired up in the last couple years. Like, last year was kind of a foregone conclusion that Oregon was going to win the game. Are you feeling that way, right, the way this year? I mean, the spread's like a touchdown. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, if you're telling me that I'm wrong, that I got to move into your basement and serve you breakfast every day for the next 5 years, I'm taking Oregon to win the game, right? But, I mean, look, this thing was blown to smithereens, you know, a year and a half ago when Kalen DeBoer took off to go to Alabama. I think all of Husky Nation, if you will, kind of knew what was coming for UW. There was going to be a massive rebuild at Washington under Jed Fish. Only question is, how long was that going to last? And it's still ongoing. I do think he's made a tremendous amount of progress from where they were. I do think there's a lot of Husky fans and college football fans in general that don't bother to look at context when they look at the job that Jed Fish is doing at UW. They see an 8-3 football team that had, let's face it, back then, a fairly bad loss to Wisconsin. Doesn't look as bad after they beat Illinois last weekend, but it was bad at the time. And if you want to just look at everything in a vacuum, I guess you would say that, but where this program was a year and a half ago when Kalen took off for Alabama and what Jed Fish had in front of him was a monumental, in some ways, rebuild to even get these guys back to being bowl eligible. I mean, Jimmy Lake went 4-8, for God's sakes, in his final year at UW. And Jed Fish didn't touch that when he was at Washington in year one, and he won't touch that at Washington in year two. So I think the context of what this guy's been through and what he inherited and the job he's done has actually, in a lot of ways, been pretty impressive. And the timeline might have been sped up a little bit faster than even some Husky fans thought it would have been.
Kalen DeBoer's departure, I've wondered about this, you know, that movie Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, if DeBoer stays, if he stays at Washington, where is Washington right now? And you know, I kept thinking, could he have had a run there that just would have been right. Don James Part 2?
That's what I thought, and maybe I was naive to think that. You know, I think we live in a day and age where those types of runs probably are not going to happen, and if they do happen, they're going to be very unique, man. And I thought Kalen DeBoer had a chance to be that guy. I mean, if he had stayed at Washington, like, we can talk about the names of guys that took off. You know, Austin Mack, who's a backup quarterback at Alabama, probably would be the starting quarterback right now at UW. All those offensive linemen, including two guys that went to play for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, and one guy who's starting at center for DeBoer at Alabama, would still be here. Jeremy Bernard as a wide receiver would still be here. You know, some secondary players that took off to go play in the SEC and in the ACC for Miami and Florida would still be here. A few players that took off to go play for Bill Belichick at North Carolina after 1 year under Jed Fish would still be here. I mean, I can be here all day talking about what it would have meant to UW if Kalen DeBoer had stayed at Washington. You know, he really had something going. He had a great coaching staff, eventually would have lost some of those guys to head jobs and coordinator jobs in the NFL. But, you know, look, I mean, the guy went, you know, obviously 25-3 when he was at UW. He went 14-1 his last year. He wasn't going to go 14-1 every year. He wasn't going to go 11-2 every year. But could 9-3, 10-2 have been the bottom for him consistently as the head coach at Washington? I think it could have been. Instead, the whole thing got blown to smithereens, and Jed Fish had to come over and inherit a brand new culture and a brand new roster. And here he is now on the verge of, if they can upset Oregon, winning 9 games, which would be huge for him.
Softy, I was at that Michigan-Washington National Championship game. You were walking around that stadium hours before the game. You were on cloud 9. Your team that you grew up with playing for a national championship. And then Oregon, a year later, gets boat raced in the Rose Bowl. You were also on cloud 9 for that game. Take me through the difference between the kind of the thrill of victory with your team and then maybe a little bit of the thrill of defeat with your rival.
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, you know what? I know that Oregon fans know what this feels like, to wake up and know that that night your team is going to play for the national title. You know, there's very few fan bases that know what that feels like to go to a stadium like that. Very few people that know what it's like to be on the sideline for a game like that before the game, and the anticipation, and look around and see all these great Husky players or whatever school you're a fan of. Every player comes out of the woodwork. Every alumni member wants to be a part of it. And I'll never, ever forget what those couple hours were like before that game with Michigan. That's number one. Number two, as far as the sports hate, and I'll steal a line from Greg Lewis. I don't even know if it's sports hate as much as it is just hate, right? I mean, I can't stand Oregon. I can't stand their fans. I can't stand the colors that they wear. And I don't even know what the hell their colors are anymore, to be totally honest with you. So I just don't like colors. I live in black and white now because Oregon's ruined everything. I'm being half sarcastic, by the way. But that stadium, the voice of their PA guy, everything, you know? So when your rival gets clowned the way Oregon got clowned in that Rose Bowl, especially in that first half, I think all of us as fans, no matter if you hate UW or love UW or hate Oregon or love Oregon or Oregon State or whatever, I think you're kind of in a mindset of, hey, if I can't do it, then neither can those sons of bitches down there, right? And misery loves company. And we were a little miserable after a 6-7 year getting boat raced by Oregon in the final game of the regular season, put up a great fight against Louisville. There was a lot of anticipation that day for Damon Williams and the way he played, and then watching Oregon get cracked in the face the way they did against the Ducks was a little bit of a cherry on top of a decent ending, I thought, for Jed Fish in year number one. So as much as it was fun to watch that, it's going to be even just as painful, I think, if Oregon ever does win the national championship, which someday I expect them to do that, maybe even very soon.
Softy, it's three out of four for Washington. But Oregon wins last year's game, and there was a feeling around it with Duck fans that, hey, this is going to be another run. DeBoer's leaving. Dan right. Lanning's got momentum. Could it be 12 in a row? Could it be 15 in a row for Oregon? When I say that, does your blood start to boil?
No, because I just don't think that'll ever happen again. I think that's ridiculous what Washington allowed to have happen against Oregon. And a lot of that was incompetence on UW's part that led to them getting to that point. You know, I mean, again, like we said in your podcast the other day, you hire the wrong people and things like that can happen. You know, you don't hire people that have passion for the program. You don't have people that obviously understand the history and what the alums and the fans find important, then things like that will eventually happen. So, you know, these guys have been playing football for over 100 years together, right? Oregon and UW. And that run that you're talking about that began, obviously, in the 90s had never happened before, and I don't think ever will happen again. And I've told you many times on your show, and I still believe it, that I think you go back to, you know, Kenny Wheaton in the mid-90s, and you go back to that Rose Bowl against Kajana Carter and Phil Knight's involvement. I think if you were to ask any Oregon fan, what is your favorite thing about what has happened in the last 30 years to Oregon football, and they would say the way we smacked around Washington, the way we treated Washington, right? The way we got under their skin, the way that we controlled them, the way that we dominated them. I think Oregon fans are lying to you if they say anything else besides that. That is the number one thing on their list of accomplishments in the last 30 years is what they did during that run to UW. And maybe even in some ways what they're doing now, you know, with the money they've got to offer, with the branding they've got to offer. I think Oregon fans feel like they can wake up and they can feel superior to UW. And that was never the case until the mid-90s. And I think Oregon fans have a reason to feel that way now. And I think that Oregon fans will find that to be the most satisfying thing that they've seen handed to them on a platter in the last three decades.
The Wisconsin loss, in some weird way, yep, silver lining to it is maybe it makes Jed Fish not look as attractive to a Florida or something like that. Is there the same silver lining if Oregon punks Washington on Saturday, or is that something you can live with?
No, I mean, I can't live with it ever, number one. And number two, the silver lining of Jed Fish not being as attractive and a candidate because they lost to Wisconsin. I mean, look, John, I'll just put it this way. I like Jed. I think Jed's done a really good job. I think Jed works his ass off. I'm not expecting Jed Fish to stay here long term at all. So if he leaves, he leaves, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and panic if Jed Fish walks out of here and takes the Florida job or an NFL job or Penn State or whatever program's out there. I'm with you that I don't think he's nearly as attractive a candidate now as he was maybe a month ago. You know, if he had beaten Wisconsin and they're in the top 15 right now and staring a potential CFP berth right in the face, I think his name is getting floated out there even more than it is today, you know. But I'm not going to lose sleep if Jed Fish leaves. I'm not going to get all worked up if Jed Fish takes off, because I think there's a lot of candidates out there that would be really good fits for this job if and when that happens. The DeBoer thing was a once-in-a-lifetime thing with that guy. I mean, he wasn't just a great coach. He was also an incredible dude, just a great, great guy. Like, there's three dudes that I've covered in my career that I would put on the pedestal with each other as far as great men. I know that sounds corny, but Lorenzo Romar, Mike Holmgren, and Kalen DeBoer are all at the top. And, you know, Chris Peterson's right behind them. So that was kind of a personal deal for me, to be honest with you. When Kalen took off, it was a little, there was a little bit of heartbreak, you know, as corny as that sounds, to see a guy like that take off and take a job somewhere else. But I don't have anywhere near that potential feeling, I think, of Jed Fish leaves. He'll work hard while he's here, but I'm fully expecting him to not be here eventually.
Dennis Erickson, one of the first columns I wrote after I got to the state of the Oregon was, Dennis Erickson, it's time for him to leave Oregon State. And I was basically saying, look at his resume, right? He's the guy who leaves. He called me down to Corvallis. He yelled at me. He said, you know, you're killing me with recruiting. This isn't true. 2 days later, he took the Niners job. He left for the NFL. Is this just what coaches are now?
Yes. They're all full of crap. Every single one of them. And you know what? Honestly, I think it's just the way to go. You know, you're with us until you're not. You know, Pete Carroll was the same way, by the way, John, when he was at the Seahawks, when it came to players. You know, he would sit there in front of the media. He'd tell you how much he loved the guy, how much he supported the guy. He probably said the same thing to him behind the scenes in the locker room. And then the next day he would cut him. Right. And move on and go to somebody else. And I just think that's the, like, ADs, you know, ADs will have your back. Athletic directors will have your back until the minute that they don't. And they should, because as long as you're the head coach, as long as you're drawing a paycheck from that university, you should come across as a guy that's totally devoted to that program and that fan base and that administration. It's why I kind of find what's happening with Lane Kiffin right now to be so terrible for Ole Miss fans. I mean, Ole Miss fans should be sitting here right now, John, having the time of their lives, for God's sakes, right? Getting ready for the Egg Bowl, getting ready for a potential CFP. And instead, they got stories coming out that Lane Kiffin's ex-wife and family are touring LSU and Florida's campus. I mean, like, what are we doing, right? I mean, just lie to me. Tell me you love me when you really don't. Be with me until the very end. Tell me you're devoted. And the day that you decide to not be devoted, walk out, cut bait, let's get divorced, and we'll just make a clean break, and we'll move on. But, yeah, I think all coaches are like that. And, frankly, I don't really believe a thing any of them say. Not one of them. Help me win games.
Help me craft a narrative. Washington beats Oregon Saturday. What's happening on the field?
Yeah. Takario Davis and Ephesians Prysock play like all Big Ten corners in this game on Saturday. Jonah Coleman comes out of the woodwork and loses the knee brace and is the guy that we thought we would see this year. And we really haven't seen that guy this year at all. I think it's been a little bit of a disappointment for number one, to be honest with you. And then Damon Williams does what he did against Louisville in the Sun Bowl, but he does it against Oregon. I mean, you go back and watch the tape of that game against Louisville, and I know that Louisville had a bunch of guys that were out on defense, you know, skipping the game. They had a backup quarterback, obviously, in that game as well. He looked phenomenal in that game, and he has not been that guy consistently for Washington. So if that guy that we saw against Louisville shows up against Oregon on Saturday and Jonah Coleman realizes, you know, what we thought he could be this year, then they got a shot. And the other part of it, too, is that UW has been a totally different team at home than they have been on the road. You know, Damon Williams has 6 interceptions on the year. Every single one of them have come away from Husky Stadium. Every single one. So, look, I'm not saying UW's going to win the game. I'm not guaranteeing anything. But I just think this game is certainly closer than it was a year ago at Autzen Stadium. I don't know if the gap has been closed enough for UW to actually be able to pull this off. But I would be fairly surprised if Oregon boat raced UW the way they did last year.
Softy, I appreciate you making time for us, man. Thank you. I'll see you in the press box.
All right, dude. Anytime. I'll see you Saturday.
And there he goes, Dave Softy Mahler from KJR in Seattle. We bring him on every year for Washington Oregon Week. Damon Williams Jr. got sacked a bazillion times last year when Oregon and Washington played. You know, I expect the Ducks to pin their ears back and come after him. Certainly questions about Jed Fish. And what an interesting dichotomy when you look at Dan Lanning at Oregon, who is saying, what, the grass isn't greener, I'm here, I'm staying. Granted, he's got a contract that's got a massive buyout in it. There's all this talk about potential stock options at Nike that he may have for staying as a retention bonus. There's certainly the salary he's making and the advantages he has being in Eugene as the football coach at the University of Oregon. I think it's one of the best 3 or 4 jobs in the country. But you have Dan Lanning saying, this is where I want to be. And granted, his alma mater, William Jewell College, is not going to call his name. Meanwhile, you got Jed Fish, former UCLA assistant, guy who's got ties to Florida, who is looking over there longingly at the job at Florida, hoping probably Lane Kiffin doesn't take it and he and his family can pick up and move out of Seattle. It is just an interesting difference. I do think there's a danger here that the tide has turned for Washington in a way that isn't the healthiest of cycles, meaning Oregon is a top-tier Big Ten conference team. I think Washington's in that next group. Oregon in the next decade could make 7 college football playoff appearances. Washington, I don't know. I need to see kind of where Washington lands and where they end up. The departure of Kalen DeBoer threw a wrinkle into everything in Seattle. Good stuff. Tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Follow me on Instagram at John Canzano. Tell me who you like in the Oregon-Washington game. I'll have full coverage of the game in person from Seattle at johncanzano.com throughout the weekend. But should be a great week talking about this. Thanksgiving week, of course. I want you to have a great Thanksgiving with your family, but every year it's a treat to have Softy on the show. Good stuff from Dave Softy Mahler. I want you to leave it here. You got the bald face truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. Leave it locked in. We have so much more ahead right here on the BFT.